everyone. This is Chris Murdoch, Recruiting Connections with me. Thanks so much for joining in this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, whatever, you know, whenever you are bored enough to listen to this podcast and hear me say the word connecting connections over and over again. And I really do hope that someday this becomes popular enough to become a drinking game. Hey, Ashton, Ashton Moran is here on the phone or here on the call with me, and I'm going to have him introduce himself, and then we're going to just jump right into it.
Oh, Chris, thanks. My name is Ashton. I am the general manager of Invenius, which is an executive search technology. Think about it like a CRM, and does everything to make retained search consultants' life a whole lot easier. So that's my day job. But actually, I'm also a dad of four, married to my high school sweetheart, and love music and acting and movies. So I'm into that kind of stuff. So that's a bit about me.
Well, and actually for those of you that are just listening to the audio, we do put a little video clip up here. I am always told Ashton, he's got like movie star eyes. Always.
You tell that to all the girls, Chris Murdoch.
And then for those of you that can't see this, he is blushing big time right now. So without further ado, Ashton, do you remember how we first got connected?
I do. Do you remember how we first got connected?
Yes. Was that WePow or Wowzer? No. Before that?
Before that. Yes. So check this out, man. We were at an ERE conference. I don't remember if it was Vegas or if it was Florida or somewhere on the West Coast, but we were at the ERE conference. And you were speaking with my former boss, and I don't know, man, your energy. I just thought I gotta go shake this guy's hand. So I went up to you, I shook your hand, and somehow we started talking about your experience in like big search firms. I think you were at Yahoo at the time.
I was. Where were you?
I was at Dillastone Systems.
That's it. Okay, now I remember the file finder.
That's right. Archimedes is to where I'm at now, right? So we met and we started talking about how you just went through P90X and you were going to go through it again. Do you remember that?
I did not do it again, and those DVDs are sitting up there, and I now am.
I gotta say, man, you look better than you ever have, Chris.
It's the baggy sweatshirt.
I think it's also, you know, having a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter at your side as well. That always helps.
Yeah, and you know, okay, I now remember that, you know, we met, you know, because the first firm I worked for, they, you know, Leming Levan, they used File Finder. And they were just making that transition, and that was still on-prem software. And then they got acquired by TMP Worldwide. So I went from, you know, helping them input all this information into File Finder, and then I had to help transition that same information and get it into Encore, because TMP was at the time they were an Encore shop, which
that's
was
right,
the,
that's
which
right,
was the, which was the another executive search software product, and then. I remember, we did. It was in Vegas at the ERE conference. We just caught up, and then it wasn't long after that that I called. You know, because I was pretty impressed with you as a salesperson, and I remember calling you about one of our clients. And were they Wowzer at the time, or were they still WePow?
But we had an interaction one time before that.
I know, but that's when you and I really became friends. Like that WePow Wowzer experience. That's when we became friends. What was the experience before that?
Yeah. So the experience before that was I went to visit you at VMware.
Because I think we were looking at Encore. Or no, we were looking at File Finder. Sorry.
You were looking at File Finder. Yeah. But you took me on this whole wonderful tour of like, you know, the VMware offices. And, you know, there were, I think, was there like a tennis court, basketball court or something like that, you know, on the outside? Like, you know, you showed me the ropes while we were there.
Yeah. And yeah, that was when I was doing a contract through IQ Talent. That was actually right before we really took off, you know, when you came to visit us at VMware. I'm all these. Yeah, I'm a little. I'm in my 40s. I don't remember everywhere. But I do remember also. I think I remember pointing out anytime you see somebody walking on their phone in that parking lot by the basketball court, that's where everyone was interviewing. They were right. Phone interviews. I remember joking about that's anybody walking around out there is interviewing for a job elsewhere. And that was job security for my wow. VMware executive search colleagues and I.
Yeah. So those were the two interactions that I had prior. And then we had a few conversations, but you always struck me as someone who was genuine, thoughtful. And when we spoke about that WePow opportunity, I you got me so excited about it. I just thought, you know, this is too good. This is too good to be true.
Culturally, you know, we had done a really good job, I think, of just knowing who each other were. And it's because we're both empathetic people. And we're salespeople, but we're a subset, we're relationship builders.
Right.
You know, and we're connectors. And yeah. So we go into every relationship not expecting something at the end. You know, yeah. We don't, there's no expectation of something. It's just, I'm here for you when you need me, and it's vice versa. And so yeah. You and I had that, you know, kind of understanding very quickly. And so when I talked with the clients, they were walking me through not what they needed, but who they needed. They were very emphatic, you know, as Emo especially. He was so emphatic about the type of person that he wanted to bring in. And I believe you were the first salesperson. And
really,
I believe that you were going to be the first, you know, it was for the first wow. salesperson. They wanted somebody who was entrepreneurial, ready to build relationships, but also understood culture, like company culture and how important it was. Yeah. And so when I called you and you interviewed, you know, ultimately you did the phone interviews. I remember them flying you out and they put you up in that hotel. And I came down to see you because I knew you and I were going to go grab dinner or something afterwards.
That's right.
You got to check out this room. And you had like a shared bathroom on the floor. Like you didn't even have your own bathroom.
Oh my.
It was really convenient to their office and Caltrain to get to the airport. But I'm like, nope.
I remember that. You know, that made such an impact on me on how hospitable you are in general, Chris, that you literally said no. You grabbed my bag. I don't know if you remember every detail there. You grabbed my bag and you said, you're not staying here. You got in your car and you said, you're staying with me. And we got to stay together. And yeah, man, that's when we really got to know each other, was for that week, right?
And we never told Emo. If he listens to this now, he will find out. Like, we never told him. Like, I don't think they'd ever stayed there. I don't think they ever took a tour. They just thought, oh, it's a hotel. It's gonna be in Silicon Valley. It's gonna be really nice.
I agree.
And that's how you got to know, you know, Jen you know, you stay with us for I think a couple nights and then back and you ended up getting the job. And you know, we've managed to stay in touch. And so when it comes to connections, what's that first thing? I mean, you and I connected, we've remained connected, we value one another. But yeah. What is the word connection mean to you?
So I'm gonna wear my heart on my sleeve a bit. I hope you don't mind. I truly believe that we've all been empowered and have been given this opportunity to be great. Everybody has this bit of greatness inside of them that is waiting to come out. If it hasn't already started to shine certain points. And I believe that people around us are the gifts to help create some catalysts in us to start showing that. So for me, when I think about people, when I think about the Chris Murdochs in the world, at least in my life, it's folks who are there to help me along my journey. And I'm, in the same way, I'm responsible in helping people along in their journey. So I love what you said earlier, Chris, where it's not about trying to get something out of someone. It's, you know, or trying to make a sale. That's short-term thinking, right? For me, when I make a connection with somebody, I want to know that in 30 years' time, 40 years' time, we're able to drink, you know, seltzer water or vodka tonic or whatever it is that, you know, whoever's on the other side likes to drink, that we're able to drink, and we're able to have a good time, laugh, talk about meeting each other at an ERE, talking about P90X, right? Talking about, you know, spouses and children and dreams that we have. And even talking about beautiful dogs like Whizzer. You remember Whizzer?
I do. Yeah,
Whizzer is one of my favorite dogs, man, that I've had the opportunity to meet with.
Yeah, so much personality in that dog. You would put him in a, we put him in a Hawaiian shirt, mm-hmm. and he would strut around like he was Ashton Moran. And you know, and no, it was great. He was such a great dog. But the thing is, he had personality. You knew who he was.
Yeah.
And he was always there. Like, you know, if he could tell if you were having a bad day, he'd sit in your lap. Much like Ashton Moran. And no, just kidding. But when it comes to relationships, and this is why, like, you know, IQ Talent, we don't have salespeople.
Yeah.
We don't have like a sales force doing cold calling. We tell our team, you know, David, our president, David Winley, my co-founder, Tom Millick, who I, you know, met, you know, freshman year at Vanderbilt, and I, the three of us, we tell our team that they're the best salespeople because of the relationships that they're building with their candidates and their clients and the recruiters that they're working with, that's how we've managed to build our business, because we've been building relationships and once you make a connection, maintaining that connection.
Yeah.
That's how we've managed to grow the firm. And so we've instilled that. We have our team, they're very different. It's a very diverse group of people. Diverse in thought, gender, ethnicity, all of that.
Yeah.
But the one commonality is they all value the relationships that they're building with their colleagues, their clients, and their candidates. And that allows them to be comfortable. It allows them to be confident in their roles. They don't have to worry about, you know, they don't worry about, oh, if I make a mistake, I'm going to get fired.
They
know that if there is a mistake made, they're going to learn from it, and they're going to have help from, you know, hundreds of other people that are there to help them, you know, learn and move on, you know, the resiliency. So it's that, those are the types of things that we, you know, we foster and develop here at IQTP. But also at the same time, it's that same mindset that I've always had when it comes to maintaining people and my, you know, maintaining relationships with people. Yeah. I mean, I've had, you know, we've known each other 15, 16, 17 years. And but we might not talk every year, but when we do, it's like we were talking last week. Right. And it's getting comfortable. The thing is that helps you in your professional life. It helps you in your personal life. And that's why one of the, you know, somebody asked, like, you know, it's kind of a generic title, Chris, recruiting connections. I was like,
right.
But then when I start to explain, it's not just about recruiting. It's not just about sourcing or research. It's not just about technology and APIs.
Right.
It's about all of it. And in recruiting, and since you've worked in the recruitment space forever, and, you know, file finder, you know, the Dillastone systems, that was a CRM. It helps people in, you know, executive recruiters connect with candidates, maintain those relationships, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Invenius and your parent, you know, your parent company, Bullhorn. It's all about making connections. And now you've got, on top of that, you've got data.
Yeah.
You're connecting people with. So, How do you take, we've talked about your personal journey with what connections and relationships mean. Yeah. How does that translate into your professional life?
I'm so grateful to be able to, you know, to say today that I am the general manager of the business, right? I think about this journey all the time. I don't say it to be boastful, though it may come across that way, and I'm sorry.
Not at all.
But, you know, when I think about where my journey started, right? You know, I started as a sales and marketing assistant. I was the one grabbing orange juice and the coffees and the newspapers, you know, in order to just appease individuals in the room who are much more senior than I was. So I was the gopher, and
the job description was the word yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And I loved every moment of it. And it was, you know, through the connections that I built, you know, a promotion here, you know, an opportunity to you know, expand my skills there. And it was all from a place of building trust, right? So when I think about my personal career journey, trust was so fundamental to that. And it was also about showing just my willingness to, as you said, to say yes, right? And I learned to say yes and then figure it out afterwards. That's generally been the way I live life. So, you know, hey, Ash, can you do this? Absolutely. I turn around, I think, oh my gosh, I don't even know what I said yes to, but I'm going to figure it out. I'll try to at least, you know, get a lot of help along the way. And that's led me to this place where I'm at today. And I'm really grateful that the customers we work with, because you know, Invinius has about 1,000 customers around the world, right? 10,000 users logging into this thing every single day, managing their business and what they do day in, day out of this platform. So it's really critical to them. A lot of the people that I call my clients and my customers, we text one another. Right? You know, they'll shoot me a text message, you know, even if it's not related to Invinius, it could be something like, you know, hey, I just smashed a Peloton ride today. Like, you know, it could be something as simple as that, but I feel like, you know, there's always an opportunity to show the human side of us to the people that we get to work with. And that's at least how I've seen my success is just wearing, you know, my beliefs, my convictions on my sleeve, which is, you know, people come first. People come first, right? And then the business follows.
And it comes down to the word that you used, trust. Your
That's
customers trust that you're going to respond. Your customers trust that you have their best interests in mind,
right.
and they become, you know, friends. And you know, not every customer becomes a friend, not every candidate becomes a friend, but the people that value, you know, that you connect with, you know, that you really have that, you know, that kismet, that's what's made you successful. And then there's something else I want to build on here. You had said, you know, when you're early on in your career, your job description is the word yes. Like, it's like, if I can't figure it out on my own, I'll ask questions, but I'm going to do my best to figure it out in order to you know, get something done, learn from it. When you're in leadership, your job is to know when to say, no, I'm not doing this to yourself.
That is very
Knowing
true.
when and
Yeah.
knowing when to hand it off to, when is it time to hire someone to do a job? Or what duties can I hand to somebody that's in my organization to give them an opportunity to step up? So I find that, you know, early on, you know, that transition from my job description being the word yes, and then over time transitioning more to that mental, nope, I shouldn't do this. I'm going to help someone in their career. I'm going to help an employee, or oh, it's time for me to hire somebody new. And then empowering that
Not
person.
that golden nugget, Chris Murdoch. Come on.
And then when you the thing is, and when you do hire someone, like when I hired Judson, you know, our first employee here in Nashville, our first researcher, I had done the research, the sourcing, I had done the recruiting, I had done the business development. Tom handled all the responsible stuff, you know, the finance, payroll, stuff like that, the stuff I did not want to do. But
Wow.
if we were going to scale the business, I had to figure out, what can I offload? And the research was the easiest one, because that's the one I can train someone. If I found the right per if I connected with the right person, I would be able to, you know, hand that person the right job. And in the previous podcast, Tiffany Franklin had made it possible for me to meet Judson. And but the first thing I did when he started, I said, you're going to have to tell me no. You're going to have to tell me, no, I've got this, because I knew that my first instinct, because my whole career had been to take care of the people I worked for and worked with. And so I said, you're going to have to tell me, no, Chris, I've got that. No, Chris, you're not going to do that. You're going to teach me how to do it. And so I enabled him, I empowered him,
Right.
to do what he felt I shouldn't. And yeah. And that's why, you know, and that's when I learned very quickly, it's so easy to just, you know, take all the responsibility on and on yourself as a leader, but it's also knowing when to let go, when to enable, when to delegate, you know, and, you know, over time, you know, you're developing someone else to take your place. And I am, there are so many people that are better at stuff than I am and in this world. And so like, I'm going to surround myself with those people and I'm going to help those people become better around me. And so that's the way it's really operated here, you know, in my mindset. And I'm trying to help more entrepreneurs understand at some point, you're going to have to tell yourself no.
Now, doesn't that fill you with absolute joy? And I can imagine how, you know, how our clients feel, you know, placing the world's leaders who do just that, they change the world, right? But I mean, doesn't that fill you with satisfaction to look at a Judson or to look at other folks who you've mentored and now they're doing things that are just absolutely killer, right? They're out there working their own customers, running their own businesses. How has that made you feel, Chris Murdoch?
Oh, I'm looking at, I look at, ooh, flipping the interview around. I like it. Watching, you know, I keep in touch with people who leave. Inside IQ Talent, it's easy. Easy to maintain connections with current employees. It's a lot harder to maintain the relationships and those connections with people who have been here and left.
Right.
And so I reach out to them and I hear what they're accomplishing. And I point out, it's like, do you understand you're 10 years ahead of everyone else? Because mm-hmm. of who you are and the training and all that stuff and everything that you've done to date has shaved 10 years off your career. I'm so proud of you. I tell them, I point out, because not all the time do they understand what they've accomplished. Like within context, they've worked at, you know, they went from college to IQ Talent to where they are now. Mm-hmm. They don't have the context of what happens elsewhere. And so I give them that context. I connect them with that information that they just don't have yet to right. show them just how awesome they are and how significant of an accomplishment it's been. One of our current employees, she won the award for like Employee of the Year, the Spirit of IQ Talent Partners Award.
Wow.
And it's everyone's nominated by their peers.
Yes.
And so she won. She's also going to be 40 under 40.
Wow.
Nashville Business Journal. So within Nashville for this next year, she's going to be one of the top 40 under 40. And she's like just in her 30s and just barely into her 30s. And I told her, I called her yesterday because it became official and all that. And I told her just how impressive and you know, how impressive it is for her to have accomplished this and how proud I was of her. And then, you know, we just started talking about our kids, but I wanted her to understand just how awesome she was. And I do that with all of our former employees too. Like when I hear about something, one of them getting promoted or getting to add like 3 or 4 new members to their team, I'm on the phone with them.
Wow.
To tell them just how great they are.
Chris, that's so wonderful. And it's really emblematic of the person you are. I'm curious to know, you know, who does that for Chris Murdoch?
Everyone. I get advice and feedback from our newest employees to my oldest friends. Mm-hmm. When I get feedback and I need mentoring, it's like if I think I need some help with something, I don't hesitate to ask for help. Like mm-hmm. I have never hesitated to ask for advice, and I'll figure out, like, could be somebody I worked with at Hydra, could be somebody I worked with at TMP. Jeff Lemming, for example. This was the guy that hired me into my first job at Lemming Levan the firm got acquired by TMP. I worked for him for 1 year. And when I quit to go move to Seattle, I worked for him for a year in Atlanta and I moved to Seattle. He had heard that I got a job at Heidrick and struggles. Okay. And I got one word as a subject line and it was traitor. And so, but the thing is, I kept in touch with him. If I needed some advice, I'd call him because he'd started a firm and, you know, and he sold it. And then, you know, when I was starting IQ Talent, you know, he and I connected and he gave me some advice. Mm. And then on the 20-year anniversary, 20 years to the day that he hired me in October of 2019, we had breakfast. I was in Atlanta for SourceCon and we were just catching up. And so he went from TMP to they spun off and sold the executive recruiting group to Heidrick. So he was at Heidrick for a little while. Yeah, and then yeah. He and a bunch of the people from the former TMP folks, they all went to a company called Caldwell Partners. And he'd been at Caldwell for over a decade and we were just catching up. He was talking about the firm being so full of great, you know, great partners, you know, great everybody. And the culture was great. And I was talking about IQ Talent and he said, well, I think we might be able to use you. And before you know it, they became a client. And then after a couple months, they asked if we'd be willing to merge. and so, you know, COVID kind of put the deal on hold. And then now we're part of Caldwell Partners and they're helping us grow. And, you know, it's just somebody that I valued for his opinion ultimately led to, you know, a life-changing both professionally and personally life-changing event. And now we have, you know, everything we need to grow faster than we've ever grown before. We've got a partnership with Caldwell that is, you know, firm to firm and person to person, it's indistinguishable because everyone there wants us to be successful and we want them to be successful.
Vice versa. Absolutely.
And they've just enabled so much growth. We went from, you know, usually hiring 3 or 4 people a month to now a dozen. And I think our current class is 16 people. It's the largest class we've ever had. And next month we're going to try for 20 to 30 people. You know, to come in and hire. So, but again, it's sometimes it's those little meetings, just asking for advice or just kind of wanting to check in and see what somebody thinks. And it can, you know, change the trajectory of a lot of things.
I feel the exact same way. I opened up when you asked me about connections, this conversation has really further proven that point, at least in my life, right? Like, you know, I think about, you know, how you've had your journey with your mentor, with the people who you are a mentor to as well. Again, you've been placed there to receive because you've got you're showing your greatness to the world, Chris. Like, look at you, man. I remember when we met, you probably had single digit people at IQ Talent Partners. And I remember a telephone conversation that we had that you said, IQ Talent is going to be 100 strong one day. And I remember saying, Chris, I believe that you can get there. Look at you now. How many people are you now?
400.
You were dreaming big when you thought 100.
But you know what it was? With somebody else, I used to, my boss's 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 boss, David Winley, was the CHRO of Yahoo. Mm-hmm. I had minimal interactions with him until Microsoft tried to take us over.
Right.
And because I was on the executive recruiting team, I would ask a lot of questions because we had candidates that were asking about change in control. If we do become part, you know, if Yahoo did get acquired by Microsoft, what does it mean for this role? And so I would bring these questions up. And so David, you know, asked, you know, recognized me as the guy that asked all the hard questions or the good, or as he put it, good questions.
Right.
And so when he left Yahoo, we reconnected and, he actually, you know, asked what we were doing and we told him we were thinking about moving to the billable hours and we were 12 people. No, we weren't even 12 people. We were still single digits when I connected with him. And then he wanted to get involved and he became a board member and he helped us hone this model that we're at now with the billable hours and the on-demand by the hour augmentation. And then a year later, he wanted to be more involved and he became the CEO of IQTP. And we went from 12 people the day that he started in total, we had 7 people in Nashville by the end of his first year. So the 3 months, we almost tripled.
Wow.
in Nashville. We more than tripled in Nashville. And then, you know, before you know it, now we have 200, over 200 people in Nashville, and another 200, you know, employees and contractors spread out throughout the country, and a few, you know, international people here and there. But so, it's, but it was a connection I made with David. And he knew a part of who I was, respected it. I respected him because, like, he was a really, really, really great leader. And mm-hmm. he empowered his team, and he built a great team, and he maintained a great team. The day that I left Yahoo, it was a, you know, people's like, you know, Chris, you know, what are you gonna do? I was like, I'm gonna hang my own shingle. What are you gonna do? I was like, don't know. But I had, you know, but we had clients within months of getting started. Tom was willing to do the books nights and weekends, and we just built it organically most of the time through my personal network. And then when David came in, you know, his personal network was so much, and professional network were so much bigger. He had a lot more connections. And so we were able to just grow exponentially in his first year. And we just kept growing and growing. COVID put the kibosh on the growth. We went the opposite direction, but we were able to keep the employees connected that we had to furlough. We furloughed, we were paying benefits and everything. A lot of us made, you know, there was a shared sacrifice. People took pay cuts. Some of us went to zero. But when everything started coming back, we were able to take advantage because we had always maintained those relationships with everyone that had been affected by the furlough.
Everybody came back.
They were still employees. They just weren't getting a paycheck. Because it was a furlough. And so we were able to take advantage because we were maintaining the connections. Mm-hmm. We never severed them. Mm-hmm. And we were able to take advantage and grow. And so, I mean, and that's, you know, when I started IQTP in 2009, it was a down economy. Like people weren't hiring recruiters, but we were able to find a client here, a client there, test this out, adapt to this client's needs. And we became a full fee search firm, from doing contract research to doing full fee executive recruiting to this hourly model we have to, you know, today. But that's a long journey. I mean, IQ Talent is going to be 13 years old this year.
Wow. Chris, going back to one of the original points, connections, they really are the catalyst for destiny taking place, right? For destiny manifesting itself. Like let me turn the table to you, and then I'll bring it to me. But I think about, you know, the story that you had with David there. What would have happened if David went his own way and Chris Murdoch went his own way? You know, what's the conversation that would be happening between us today?
We would probably just be hitting, you know, 60, 70 people.
And that connection sparked something.
Yeah, it was the catalyst because, again, I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And I know what I have and don't have. And and also, just as a quick aside, I don't think in terms of right or wrong. I think in terms of what is and what isn't. And I've always done that. And so what is happening? What isn't happening? And with David, I knew what would happen. And Tom saw the same thing. And, you know, the three of us are very different. We bring very different skill sets. But I just felt that if we would be more successful with David at the helm, Tom did as well. And that he would make us better. And I think David has made me a more patient leader.
Right.
I'm not as emotional. I still wear my emotions on my sleeve, but I don't react. Like I don't react. I don't get defensive as much. And so that connection has made me a better, you know, leader, mentor, colleague. I think I would have gotten there, but the journey would have been a lot longer to get to 100 people, to get to the point where I'm the leader I am today, had it not been for that reconnecting with David.
Wow. Thinking about where I'm at and how I got into a place that I'm at, I've got a lot to thank David Grundy for. David Grundy being, you know, the former CEO of Invenius. And I feel that there was a conversation that happened that, and maybe this happened with you and your David as well, but there was a conversation that happened that I felt changed a certain outlook that I had on things. And I thought to myself, you know, I joined Invenius back in 2013 when it was like 1/4 of the product that it is today. It was very early stage. I was at WePow, mm-hmm. and which had also some great potential ahead of it. And I remember thinking, like, David, why am I going to leave? I know WePow is going to get to something great, which WePow was acquired, right? Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, it got to that to that Nirvana place from in Silicon Valley. So I'm thinking, like, you know, I know that this is going to get there one day. But I don't know, something's calling me to make this connection with David Grundy. I'm going to take the leap of faith and I'm going to jump there. And I've seen myself, grow. I can't even say year after year, it's been, you know, almost like month after month, quarter after quarter, there's always just a little bit of growth that happens. Something, I learned just a little bit more. I realize, I realize a little more that I don't know as much as I thought I knew, right? So I feel like even though I'm learning more, I realize that the potential to learn is so much greater. So the chasm between how smart I can be and where I'm at now just continues to widen, right? Like that's how I feel. And the connection that I made with David, again, you know, felt like it was just right place, right time, said yes. And, you know, and 8 years later, here I'm at. And we were acquired by Bullhorn, as you mentioned, 3 years ago, which has been, what a journey that's been, right? Going through an integration of the business. Man, it's a lot of work. You guys must be going through the same.
Well, it's pretty, we're not technology, so we don't have as much stuff to connect. But, you know, right now we're working through, it's been a year now. And we're just, you know, we're getting all the back end stuff, you know, connected, you know, so all the payroll, all the financials, all that stuff is in process of getting connected. Those types of things take a long time, but ultimately it's just, you know, the good and the bad is, the great is we have the ability to grow. Now Wow. We have to find more people. And, yeah. And so we are only hindered now by our ability to bring, you know, people into the company and get them trained up. On everything that we do, but for you, you know, getting Invenius connected into the back end of Bullhorn and getting all that stuff to work, and you know, I can only imagine, you know, getting code bases aligned, getting all that stuff working. That's got to be just a nightmare.
So the systems remain independent of one another.
Oh, that's
right?
Awesome. Okay, that's. Yeah. There goes
solely on exec search. You know, Bullhorn has a wider staffing and recruitment market to go after, and there are a whole lot of other products, you know, that we have in our portfolio to help us get there as well. But what has happened, and this is where connections comes back in. But what has happened is, you know, Invenius is a much smaller business in the grand scheme of things in the Bullhorn org, right? Bullhorn being a $300 million business, Invenius, we just hit $1 million monthly recurring revenue, seven figures. We just hit that in the niche market that we're in. What a feat, right?
That's like, awesome.
I'm about to start drooling here, but we're the first technology to get to that place, and it's quite exciting. But enough about that. You know,
executive recruiters can be cheap.
There were processes in a larger business that didn't necessarily and don't necessarily work in the context of the business that we're in. Right, because we're working with boutiques around the world. As I said before. You know, 10,000 people, 1,000 customers, that's about 10 people. Those are 10 people shops that we're working with on average. And I remember, you know, when I first came in, struggling to really communicate what the needs were. And the reason why I was struggling was because I hadn't made connections with the people that I was working with. I was trying to communicate the problems, which they were true, yes, and trying to drive some change. But you know, how can you really do that if people really don't they don't necessarily understand where you're coming from, your background, your vantage point, how you can help, you know, drive a certain initiative as well. And it wasn't until I started really focusing on the professional connections that I have at Bullhorn, and in a lot of cases, turning them into personal connections too, right? Because I've met friends for lifetimes now in this business. And I remember when there was one particular initiative that was it was a twinkle in the eye for me, and I thought like I'd probably never be able to make something like that happen. And the more and more people got to know me, know my heart, know my intention, and I got to know them as well, know their heart, their intention, where they were coming from. Something happened one day. I don't even remember. It was from another team member who said, "Hey, have we ever explored this idea?" And it's like, I've had it, but I didn't want to really bring it up. And all of a sudden, and guess what? It's going to turn into a game-changing thing later this year. So I'm so excited for it. I can't announce too much on it now, but I feel it's going to change the world of executive search technology for the good. So,
oh my God. So for those of you that are listening, like, this dude is busting out at the seams, trying not, like, he still wants to tell us. But we'll make sure that we do a follow-up when you're ready to announce it.
Absolutely.
We'll do a follow-up and we'll talk about it. Ashton, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk today.
Chris, thank you. I know, I hope you didn't mind me getting too personal. This is just such a personal topic for me.
And I was right there with you. This is going to be a personal journey. It's going to be a professional journey, you know, with this. And I hope that, you know, that everyone that's listening in on the different aspects of connections or connecting. And I hope if you were doing the drinking game with vodka, I don't know. This one, we use the word, use the connect word a lot. But Ashton, thanks again. And do you want to do any kind of other shameless plug other than to make us all, like, you know, wait for the end of the year? But is there any other shameless plug you want to make?
So I would just say, if you're an executive search consultant and you haven't talked to us at Invenius, you can easily change that. And trust me, it will change your life. Give me a call. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I've got people who are ready and willing to speak with you like this and help change your life when it comes to retain executive search, the technology that we provide. Best thing ever. That's all I will say.
And the thing is, and you mean every word.
Every word. Single word. That's right. Chris, what a wonderful pleasure. Thanks for this is a privilege. You know why? For a couple things. One, how awesome to get to speak with Chris Murdoch. Like, that's just a joy. Two, how awesome it is to be one of the early guests to something that I know is going to grow really big. I can't wait to say, "Hey, you know that Chris Murdoch show? I was like one of the early guests."
Yeah, number four. thanks everyone for tuning in. Please, you know, feel free to provide feedback. Ashton's contact information will be in the LinkedIn profile, will be in the notes. Would love to also have you on as a guest, so feel free to reach out. Let's connect.